A large part of what went wrong is that we were fundamentally expecting too much from the Afghan National Army and armed forces. What we've been doing since we intervened in their civil war after September 11th was trying to build up an Afghan military that is like our own, a high-tech, conventional military. And that system works very well for us because we have a strong sense of unity and national identity. We trust that the government fundamentally represents the American people. And we took it for granted that if we built up a conventional high-tech military in Afghanistan, that they would have loyalty to the state and trust that the state fully represented the Afghan people. So I think we took that loyalty for granted in a completely different context where it wasn't going to apply.
It seems like we do this a lot in the Middle East. Do we just not get the Middle East, whether it's Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan? Do we just not get it?
I think it's a fair question. Western nations from Britain to France to the U.S. have expected other countries, especially in the Middle East and South Asia, to sort of evolve along the same lines that our societies have evolved towards the creation of unified nations with a collective sense of identity and history, which are represented by democratically elected governments. This evolution is actually the anomaly in human history. Most of the time, societies have not evolved into centralized states that have legitimacy, that are recognized as representing the entire nation. What we have been working with in Afghanistan in the last 20 years is really a puppet government that does not have legitimacy in the eyes of most of the Afghan people. Not only can they not be counted on to provide sort of ordinary factors of a dignified life like electricity and water, they're widely viewed by the Afghan people as being corrupt and really only out to line their own pocket.
Andal Narayanan is an instructor of modern military history at Virginia Tech. He's been studying the 20-year presence of the U.S. in Afghanistan. Do a lot of these people that lay down their arms and whatever, are they really sympathetic to the Taliban? Or are they hearing the Taliban leaders say things like, we'll supply some of these infrastructure or we'll supply that security?
I think it's a little unfair to sort of give a blanket dismissal of the entire Afghan armed forces because, you know, many of these men have served alongside our own troops with honor and bravery. It's indisputable that an independent motivation was simply not there for critical numbers of these troops. They did not believe in their mission to support the state in the same ways that our troops believed in the goals that they were fighting for. For a lot of these troops, I think they simply saw the writing on the wall. They realized that the American government was negotiating with the Taliban for over a year, planning for a post-war future that excluded the previous Afghan government. So I think a lot of these troops that we saw laying down their arms were looking to understandably save their own lives and try to guarantee some sort of future for themselves after this country has lived through 40 years of conflict.
Some people talked about promises that we didn't keep as far as infrastructure building, things like that. That might have helped engender more loyalty to the Afghan government, although I guess there has been some progress in education and progress for women. But were there promises that, I mean, if we had built more infrastructure, Andal, would that have made much difference, do you think?
If we had taken more active steps to prevent graft and corruption in the now former Afghan government, that might have helped boost its legitimacy. But I've heard all sorts of man-on-the-street interviews with Afghan civilians just decrying their former leaders as a bunch of mobsters. I think, again, this goes back to the fundamental question of why we were there. Were we fighting to ouster the Taliban and make sure that Afghanistan could no longer be a base for international terrorism? Or were we trying to create a democratic nation state out of whole cloth? Various American administrations have sort of prevaricated between these two positions. We have not really had unity of purpose in our mission there.
I'm Gene Moreno. Andal Narayanan is an instructor of modern military history at Virginia Tech. He's been studying the 20-year presence of the U.S. in Afghanistan.
I don't think it's fair to say that these societies or these cultures are incapable of democracy. But if you look at the sort of big picture history of the Middle East and North Africa and South and Central Asia, you see that these societies have not really or have barely been allowed to experience the path towards democracy and nationalist unification on their own native terms. It's easier to want to oppose a political system if it feels like it's being imposed at the barrel of a gun.
What do you think should be the takeaway for the U.S. government or for allies on Dal as far as when they try to get involved in something like this again in the Middle East?
With a bit of self-interest, I say that I think we need deeper understanding of the history and culture and geography of the regions that we're fighting in, the importance of sort of soft intelligence and soft diplomacy. On a military and political level, I would say we still haven't really learned the lessons we should have post-Vietnam. Warfare against enemies that can disappear in the civilian population who are fighting irregular, unconventional warfare is really doomed to failure eventually because all they have to do is wait out the clock. To conclude, I'll say that what happened in Afghanistan was not a military defeat, or it didn't have to be. What happened was we handed the Taliban a political victory by negotiating with them in the first place, by giving them political legitimacy. Once that decision was made, all they had to do was wait out our motivation to stay. I have been surprised that this has been so surprising to everyone, including our current government. I spend most of my time thinking about insurgencies and irregular warfare and revolutions. This has been very much on my mind since last year, and I've been sort of complaining and ranting for months and months about how this was foreseeable. We were signaling to the world and to the Afghan people that we didn't trust the Afghan government that we've been pumping billions of dollars into for decades.
The Afghanis have a couple of notches in their belt. First Russia and then the U.S. They seem to have a pretty good knack about getting rid of the superpowers.
They have a lasting motivation. That motivation ended up being greater than the motivation of the American home front to stay. As I mentioned before, our leaders hesitated between nation building and a military victory and never really explained well enough to the American people what we were doing there and why it was worthwhile.